Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy joins us again. Congressman, welcome back to the show. You're on WGN. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, John. Thank you.
Congressman's from the 8th Congressional District, the Democrat from the Chicago area. Where did we find you today? Are you back in the district or are you in the Capitol?
No, today I'm at home in Schaumburg, and it's nice to be home.
Turn that off.
Yes.
Bring that down. How many phones do you have? How many devices are in the Krishnamurthy household?
I'm looking at three right now.
Do you have a congressional phone that they give you? Do you have one as a member of Congress that's separate
from
your private and personal ones as well?
That's right.
That's kind of an interesting point. This is a silly tangent, but just humor me for one moment, and then we'll get to the business of the day. So then do you try and segregate your business, Congressman, your phone calls, text messages, et cetera, that are congressional related to that and the other stuff to the other one?
So the congressional one, you're not allowed to use that for non-governmental purposes.
Right.
And so I'm very strict about that, and I try not to use it, per that prescription. My personal phone I can use for other purposes, and I do. But yeah, you just kind of have to keep track of what's what, and the government phone has more security features and all that stuff as well, so you can use it for certain more sensitive communications as well.
So if your personal phone's battery was dead, could you still play solitaire on the government phone?
I don't know. I haven't tried.
But you know, that just seems like a kind of what a silly conversation or point, but this is the sort of thing that will haunt politicians that want to become president or anything else down the road.
You know, I think that it's funny you mentioned that. Yes, I think you have to be really careful about how you use your government property and government resources and just everything like that. These days, all that stuff, and people are rightfully very sensitive about it. And as taxpayers, they shouldn't have to pay for other things that aren't authorized.
You and Senators Durbin and Duckworth wrote a letter to the president about the use of military force in the states themselves. What are you talking about here, Congressman? What is your position on this?
Well, we wanted to send a very clear message to the president saying that we stand in solidarity with the governor, and I would suspect the vast majority of Illinois residents who do not want the United States military to be deployed in Chicago or elsewhere in Illinois. This was on the heels of the president on Monday basically threatening to deploy the military, and so we wanted to make that very clear that we would oppose that type of action.
I think that most people don't want to have to need the U.S. military or the state's National Guard, but then what happens if it looks like the police are being overwhelmed? What options do they have, Congressman?
So this letter does not apply to the National Guard. I think it's perfectly appropriate for the city and the governor to coordinate on calling up National Guard troops.
Yeah.
They are trained to assist with law enforcement activities, and they do a very good job. And, these are, by the way, these are civilians. These are Illinois civilians who are called up to perform this duty. And but this applies to active duty United States military combat troops, this particular letter. And there is an act of Congress that allows the president to invoke the United States military in very specific circumstances under the Insurrection Act of 1807. None of those apply here, and we wanted to make that very clear.
But that has been invoked by presidents before. After 9/11? Was it invoked in 1968 as well? I'm trying to I saw the list. There's a handful of instances where the president has authorized federal troops to work in the states.
Yes, sir. There's two instances where the military has been deployed under this act. One is where the governor of the state requests that help. For instance, after Hurricane Hugo in 1989, President George H.W. Bush was asked by the governor to basically help in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And so he did. He deployed troops. The other instance where the U.S. military has been deployed is where they have been deployed to protect minorities against the actions of the state. So 1871, Ulysses S. Grant of Illinois, who then became president, sent troops to South Carolina to suppress the KKK. In 1963, John F. Kennedy sent troops to Alabama to enforce desegregation orders 100 years later. So those are the types of situations where the U.S. military has been deployed. And in no instance has the military been deployed over the objection of a governor and against the best interests of its citizens or its minority citizens.
Well, against the best interest, I guess, is a judgment call. Are there specific parameters like this has to be met, this has to be met, or is it at the president's discretion?
Well, it's somewhat at the discretion of the president, but where it is clear that there isn't something on the verge of a civil war or, minorities being targeted in certain ways, has this act been successfully invoked? And here, actually, the military is against deploying these active duty troops, including the Secretary of Defense and Jim Mattis, the former Secretary of Defense. So this is really a serious matter, John. You know this, but the president cannot willy-nilly deploy the active duty military for a political or other consideration.
It must be very frustrating if you're the governor, the mayor, the president, whomever, and you see the cities burning. And if you're the president, of course, it's all across the land. And if you thought, I want to do something about this, and granted, there's a number of things you can do that the president did not avail himself of, but one of them might be, well, then we'll just tamp it down, right? To him, everything is a nail and he's a hammer, so he's going to pound that thing down. He'll show them, is the attitude. Here's what scares me about any of that. We've got armed militia now. That is, people that are going to the state house in Michigan or who
are
near the Capitol itself or in local villages, and they're arming themselves and they're getting ready for whoever, whatever's coming at them. And I just hate the scenario of the United States military firing on its own citizens who are firing back at them. I want people to put the guns down right now, for crying out loud.
Yes, sir. I think that's exactly right. The president needs to be the healer in chief. He needs to talk about tamping down tensions. He needs to talk about uniting us. Any move to invoke martial law, which is what happens when you deploy United States active duty military, would be more divisive and, as you said, would be provocative. I think it would give reason for those crazies and those anarchists and those militias that you talk about on the right wing.
Or the left. Or the left. Or, they're on both sides.
These extremists, let's call them, would have all the incentive they need to get in the fight, so to speak, and we would be caught in the crossfire, and we can't have that happen.
And you know, the other thing, Raj, is I'm thinking, who are those members of the National Guard? Who are those U.S. Army soldiers? There are sons and daughters who...
Yes, sir.
This isn't a civil war. We're not China that we're fighting another country or whatever. It's our own citizens that we're asking.
That's exactly right. And that's part of the point that Jim Mattis made in his very eloquent essay, you could say, in the Washington Post and the Atlantic, which he said it would destroy the trust also that our people have with the military to protect us, not to potentially assault us. And he made it very clear in his essay as well that he thought that it was in the proud traditions of our country that people were peaceably protesting. And yes, there were lawbreakers. We should prosecute them to the full extent of the law. We should go after them. Whoever looted, whoever destroyed property, that is completely unacceptable, and violence is never a tool that we should accept. However, we should not use the military to go after these our citizens, and we should allow law enforcement to perform its duties, working with the National Guard.
Yeah. Congressman, I have 30 seconds left. Did the president respond to the letter that you and our senators sent to him?
No.
Well, that's a very short answer. I now have 29 seconds left. Okay. Raja, thank you for your time, and let's talk about something else next time you're on the show. I know this was important to you, and I think it's important to us. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll visit with you again soon.
Yes, sir. Hopefully in happier circumstances.
8th Congressional District Rep. Raja Krishnamoorthy.